That's right. How you doing here this afternoon? Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with you. We are very fortunate to have George McKinney here with the Greenwood County Emergency Management Coordinator. Right now, in case you didn't know, it's 67 degrees out there. Looks like we do have a few showers around the area. And what are we looking for tonight? Well, looks like we're supposed to have some more rain showers this evening with overcast skies overnight. Low is going to be near 55, and the chance of rain is going down to 40%. Tomorrow, there's supposed to be some sunshine, and we are all looking forward to that. But, George, how have you been doing?
Busy.
Busy.
That's one word I could use, yes.
Absolutely. Now, of course, you actually used to work with the state. You were the state, what was your exact title?
I was the director of state emergency management.
That's right. So you have seen emergencies before, and I just really wanted to ask you, what did you think of how the state, Governor Haley, how they have jumped to before this actually hit? What did you think?
I thought it was very good. They were engaged in this as far out as last Wednesday. In fact, we were down at an exercise down in Columbia, and some of their people had to leave so they could get engaged in this process because of the hurricane that was out there, but also the projections of this rain that we had, the rain event we had as well.
What about declaring a state of emergency?
I thought that was very good, doing that Thursday evening. What that did is opened up some state resources and availability to get things prepared, from having them help sandbag and move sandbags around the state from state assets, as well as just being prepared, because it takes a while. I used to say when I was down there, we're a big elephant, we bring a lot, but it takes us a while to get started. But once we get started, we bring a lot to the table, and that was good to be able to see that happen that early on.
Yes, and I understand, speaking of sandbags, that you even had sandbags came up here.
Correct. We've got 1,000 sandbags. It's a regional location that they put out here for individuals. All the six counties around Greenwood, they asked us if we would house them here, and we agreed to that. Thought it was a very good thing. We started that first call was Thursday evening, and we worked through this Friday. We're supposed to get them up here yesterday, Saturday afternoon, but a few things came in the way, and then also yesterday, so they finally got up here today. So we've got some sandbags available around for the county, counties here. I know most of the water is receding, but there is some, especially in Newberry and Saluda and Edgefield areas, that are still going to need it. So I anticipate them being up here to pick some up here this week.
Now, as far as damage to the county, how are we looking? I know there's some bad areas, but what's the situation?
The biggest thing that we had in the county was we had a very large amount of flooding. In fact, off of Wilson Creek, that area was a majority of that, all the way from pretty much just outside of the city limits, all the way down through to the Saluda River. We've had issues with that. So we've had bridges that haven't necessarily been washed out, but since they were overtopped, we have those bridges that have to be inspected before we can open those back up. We've had lots of trees down throughout the county. We've had some power outages. Power outages haven't been too bad. I think we maxed out at about 1,900 to 2,000.
Unless you're one of those 2,000.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. It was 2,000, and that's one of the things I want to make sure, too, people understand. That 2,000 meter boxes. So if you really want to know it, that's about 10,000 people when you multiply.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's a meter, and so that's what they look at. So they count those as customers. I've always thought you have more human things, so looking at inside. So it's really, when you look at it, we add about, multiply that by about 5. So we did have 10,000. I don't want to minimize that, but it's also compared to last February when we had 82% of the county without power, then it was a little bit better here. But yeah, we had some power outages here. We had trees down. We've had lots of road closures. We still have quite a few roads, roughly about 20 to 25 that are closed within the county. Most of those are due to bridges that are that have overtopped, and we're just doing precaution. DOT's waiting for the water to really recede and be able to get the teams in here to be able to do an inspection. section, as well as you may have some roads that have washed out during that time frame. And I know places such as Mathis Road did wash out, and we've had a few other roads too. When I came in, there were still two roads in the counties that I knew about. One was in the city that was still blocked. They were working on it, hoping to have it open today because of a large tree. The issue with that tree, it's partly in the road and partly on a house, and so they don't have the equipment to make sure they don't do more damage to the house. So some of that is has played into it. They've been trying to get contractors and support in here. But we also had one county road that we found a tree across today that we didn't realize was there, so we were working, and that was late this afternoon, so we're working to clean that up as well. We've had lots of flooding in certain areas of homes across the county. That is a big thing that we're trying to ascertain now. We know we've had some areas, hillside area up in the northern part of the county off of Riley Road. We had the Wilson Creek trailer park down south off of Parkland Place Road. Also Fox Hollow down off of Haltewanger. We've seen these areas that are big pockets that we've had reported. So what we're looking for now is trying to find out if other people have had damage to their home due to flooding and stuff. Sometimes it's not as very obvious from the outside as you drive by, but you may have had some damage from flooding. So we want you to call and let us know about that.
Right. Well, Jeff and I out at our condo had water flow in from the patio. It was, I guess, about 4 or 5 inches high outside, and it came in through when it came into our living room and the hallway. So we have carpet. Jeff says we took out over 200 gallons. I don't know whether he's exaggerating or whether it really was 200 gallons, but we were using the shop vac type thing to pull the water out. But then we've now got a parquet floor that has a nice wave to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice. Now, you were telling me that people need to tell emergency management about this so they can assess.
Correct. We're doing assessments now. As I said, we're focused today in those larger areas that we knew about. But what we'll do is we'll come out and assess the damage at any home. That helps us in a sense because there's two types of assistance that we may be able to get from the federal government. One is public assistance for government entities, but the other is for individual assistance. And that's really a lot predicated on availability of insurance. So if you don't have insurance, in some cases, this can help out in that process. And it all hinges on a few questions, but insurance is one of those questions. So what we're looking at is seeing if individuals have had damage to their homes and stuff, please call us so that we can come out and do the assessment on there as well.
Now, what's the number to call?
Call on 942-8553.
Okay. And if there's nobody answering the phone?
Yeah, if no one answers the phone because it may not
be. They're out doing an assessment. Okay.
They're doing assessments and stuff. Please leave your name, your telephone number, your address, as well as the type of damage that you're calling about. If it's a tree falling on your house, please let us know. Also, if it's flood, please let us know, or water damage, let us know also.
Now, where our house is, you would not think of flood insurance as being something you would need because we're actually up on a hill. So what is the deal? In fact, I thought the federal government is the only one that sold flood insurance.
Correct.
Am I right?
Yeah? That's correct. They're the ones that have that available. Your normal insurance policy does not cover that. As far as I know, there are no other insurance policy, any insurance companies that cover that flood policy. So flooding is something that you need to go to the federal government and get. I would tell
you. But do you have to get it? I mean, don't they just sell it to you if you're in a floodplain or something?
They will definitely sell it to you if you're in a floodplain.
Right.
They require, in lots of cases, if you're looking to get any assistance from them also, in some cases, they require that. However, you know, if you are suspect, I mean, if you're near a creek but you're not in the floodplain, you may have another 1,000-year event like what's happened here.
Sure.
Because most floodplains are based on a 100-year floodplain. So what you're looking at is if you get above that 100 and you're in it, then you do have that flooding. And so that's where you run into it, not having coverage and stuff.
Sure. So the best thing you can do if you've had some damage, give them a call. They'll come out and assess the damage at your place, 942-8553. Now, George, are you thinking that people should be taking pictures of this so that they can be able to show what they had?
Sure. I would encourage people to take pictures of it. If you're cleaning up, the thing you want to do is you don't want to leave stuff as laying there or something that could cause more damage. So what you want to do is take pictures of what has occurred, start cleaning up, let us know about it when we get there, give us the pictures, give us copies. In today's electronic world, we have the capability of sharing those pictures real well. So that's an important thing for us to have too, because that will help us show what has happened. It's always good to make sure you got a date or time on there, date and time on there if you can on the camera. But it's also just let us know and give us those pictures. But like I say, don't just let it sit there because you're waiting for us to come out there. Try to clean up and make sure it doesn't do any more damage to your house.
And particularly people that may have had a tree fall on their house or something. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and get it moved, but take the pictures so you can assess the damage.
Correct, and assess what happened. And that's a big thing, too. If you have insurance, your insurance companies are going to look at that, too, and say, hey, well, you're trying to keep us from having to pay more out on it, too. So that's one of the things to look at, too. And plus, you don't want to lose a lot of your private stuff. You know, your property and stuff is very – and I know I have stuff in my attic, too, that if a tree fell on and I had to try to clean it up, I'd want to make sure I get it cleaned up as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with George McKinney. He is the Greenwood County Emergency Management Coordinator. Very fortunate to have George in this area because of his previous experience. If you need to call and set up an appointment, 942-8553, 942-8553. George, how long do you anticipate? I know you're taking care of the big stuff first. Mm-hmm. What type of time frame are you looking at to get everybody taken care of?
Well, one of the things we're trying to do is get it done as quickly as possible. However, we know there's times that people may be out of town right now and coming back, or they may find something a little bit later. We're going to be working all week with this. In fact, we may, depending on how many we get, we may bring in some additional assistance from outside of the county to help us do this. We're looking at that right now. We'll assess that a little bit more each day based on what we get as far as calls in and how our assessment team can go out. And I anticipate it's going to be spotty across the whole county, which may result in that. But once again, we're going to go as long as we can. That's what I was going to say, is if we are not able to get to you immediately, we will come back to you and we will get with you. I will try to get back with you and let you know the date that we're coming. However, that sometimes gets to be second guess with that. So
absolutely. So call George's office, 942-8553. That's 942-8553. And don't forget, you may have damage that you don't know that you have. That's the other thing, isn't it, George?
Correct. Yeah, you could have had damage if you had a limb fall. You may not realize how much damage is done to your roof. It may have punctured a hole in that you didn't see or haven't seen, and it didn't leak. But, you know, that's one thing.
And the running water running on the foundation of the house.
Underneath and those type things. So just make sure you check around and see if there is anything that's different. See if you've noticed any additional cracks. It's always good to go in and through your house and check after a big event like this, because things change. And so it'd be good for you to check, especially if you had any flooding or something in the house as well.
Absolutely. 942-8553. That's the number to call. Hey, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We're with George McKinney. He is the Greenwood County Emergency Management Coordinator. The biggest thing he wants you to know here today, if you've had any damage, please give them a call, 942-8553. Now, there's another reason why you should be giving them this information, even if you say, oh, I can handle it myself. The idea is that in order to get federal assistance, you need to be able to get to some numbers to be able to show that we need federal assistance in this area and in the state.
Correct. What we do is there's two sides of this on federal aid. One is, like I said earlier, public assistance, which comes in from a government side, and we have a threshold we need to meet there. We also have individual assistance, and we have thresholds that we need to meet there. It's mainly a number of homes and stuff that are damaged, as well as the cost estimate of those damages and stuff in destroyed homes or major problems with them. So it's very important that we get that information. It helps out, even if it may not give you a lots of help yourself, but it helps us as a whole to look at those and go through those numbers and stuff and make sure we're getting those numbers there. And that's one of the things that this assessment team is doing and what we're trying to accomplish here with that.
Sure. And of course, that'll affect how many dollars come into Greenwood County. And then, of course, there's the statewide dollars right. that come in.
Right.
Now, gosh, I know that down there in Columbia, the damage has just been horrific, some right. of these roads and everything. What I was thinking about, George, you know, you were talking about the bridges here in our area, but I was thinking about, will this bring some pressure on getting these structures, our infrastructure, our roads and bridges fixed, even though the they hadn't appropriated the money for this all, and will this speed up this process because of this?
It has a potential. That's all dependent upon what, how much we've had and what comes in.
I've seen some roads that are no longer there, George.
What I mean by that, it will change some of that as from that standpoint and get them back up. The question is how much money will be available, but I think it's a good time to do some of the improvements on it as well. However, you only get so much money for what is broken. Not every road is broken, and it's
right.
not across the whole state, so that's some of the issues you run at.
But some of these bridges that they weren't going to touch because it is so expensive, what I understand is with the electrical and sewer and everything mm-hmm. that runs through these bridges, mightn't this change up some of this because of
Correct.
The damage to the bridges?
Correct. It could very well, because they would then have to deal with that again. So it's all dependent bridge by bridge, almost, I would have to say, in those cases, because if you don't have to replace all of the electrical, and it wasn't, but it was just a little bit on the bridge, and you just got to change a portion of the bridge, they may not change it either. And it's all dependent a lot on each individual. There's no blanket number that you could look at that would get everything changed. But I would look at it, the potential is there to improve the bridges as well as roads that have been damaged and stuff within the state.
Sure. I mean, just closing off I-95 down there, that was, I know somebody that was coming back from Norfolk and she had to get rerouted. They closed it like an hour, but just an hour as she was coming in there, they closed it. So mm-hmm. she had to be rerouted and everything.
Correct. And that is something that happens from time to time. Part of that, I'm not sure what they did at state. I was a little bit tied up on some of that there. But I imagine they used lots of the roads that they used to evacuate people from the coast to do that with, because that's a known route. They've already got plans on how to reroute traffic. And part of that is we don't use 95, or the state will not use 95 to let people out. They use all of the secondary roads and stuff there. And we've got agreements with North Carolina and Georgia as well that they won't use those roads as well, so
yeah.
those interstates. So that's probably how they weren't rerouted your friend and stuff.
Yeah. You know, I mean, just an aside, I thought it was rather interesting. I was watching TV Sunday morning, and I happened to see a commercial for Come Visit Myrtle Beach. Maybe a while, folks, before it would be a good idea to go, but the fall is a great time to visit Myrtle Beach. And I thought, really?
Yeah, that is sometimes a chancy time, especially because September, October time frame is about when we have the majority of our hurricanes that come into to the United States. So,
as we have an emergency and rain pouring down, they're advertising coming to Myrtle Beach. I thought that was rather macabre, I guess I could say.
Yes.
Yeah, so those are some of the things that we're dealing with. When we come back, we're going to talk about more of the things that are going on. But, George, while I got you a second here, you know, it's just kind of weird because last Wednesday night, I was in Cracker Barrel eating, and all of a sudden I was in the dark because we were a transformer or something was hit, right?
Yeah, a transformer up around the mall ended up breaking and shorting out, and that just happened to be, depending on which side of the bridge you're on, the right. right or the wrong transformer to go out, because it did knock out power to a large portion of the city, and mainly the city. It was not much into the county and Duke area. It was mainly a CPW issue, but it didn't matter whether you were county or city at that point in time. If you were sitting in Cracker Barrel or
yeah,
wherever
that's right,
else,
yeah.
I had friends in Walmart that they ended up, they were just getting ready to check out, and
they didn't get to check.
Power.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's amazing how dependent we are on power, isn't it?
That's for certain. That is a critical juncture, and I guarantee you all of the people that had the computers and stuff going into and television sets and everything else in that time frame were probably not very happy either.
So. Right, exactly. Hey, it's time for South Carolina News. We're going to join them, and if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be back after the news.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here with George McKinney. He is the Greenwood County Emergency Management Coordinator. I tell you what, George, it was just so great that we had this time available to be able to sit down and talk today.
Yes, it was, and I really appreciate it, too, because it's great for us to be able to get out to the community what we're doing and letting them know, and we do appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's great to be able to have the time to be able to talk about it. Now, one of the things, you know, they're doing lots of sheltering in other places. They've done a lot of in-place sheltering in your home and whatnot. Did we have any people that needed to be sheltered?
Yes, we did. We sheltered about 65 individuals over at our Grace Community Church. The Red Cross did that for us. We had planned the potential of needing shelter, so we had already talked to the Red Cross, and they talked to Grace, and we were able to open it in about an hour and a half. What we had to do was we had to evacuate people out of the Wilson Creek Trailer Park off of Parkland Place area. There was about 50 individuals there, and then about 15 individuals up in the hillside area off of Riley Road that we had to evacuate, and we moved them into the shelter, and we were able to, but however, we were able to get them out of the shelter by that afternoon around 3 or 4.
Yesterday afternoon.
Sorry, it's kind of running together a little
right,
bit.
Right.
Yesterday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, we were able to close out the shelter. So, but it was great to have the Red Cross be able to respond like that, and we had the Salvation Army also come in and help feed for that as well. So it was great to have that ability to help those individuals.
You know, George, I know y'all practice a lot of things and disasters and whatnot, but how would you assess the fact that we had a real disaster here and how the whole team, whether it's the Salvation Army, the Red Cross, coming together and making this all happen?
I will say it was great within the county. We've worked on what we call the whole community focus here. That includes citizens all the way through government, non-government, and industry. And we've had all of them at the table. We had the city, the county, both CPW and Metro. We were all working together to help work with each other, as well as working with different entities at the volunteer level. And we're going to continue on that. In fact, I've called some today to see what we can do on the backside to help some of these individuals, some of the non-government entities that can come in and support some of these individuals too. So we'll be going on, but it's been a great team effort, and everybody stepped up to the plate, and we've learned some things, but it's been great. I think we've done a great job, and we're going to continue on doing that.
Well, I think it's great that it was a disaster, but it wasn't a disaster beyond compare. I mean, you were able to handle it, and you were able to see how your teams and everything worked. I think that's important to know.
Yeah, it is, and unfortunately, you know, you can exercise, but you don't
right.
get that realism in it as much, and unfortunately, you have to have these to make sure you get better. And it will make us better, and we've learned from it. There's some things we learned, and we've already started talking amongst each other how we can fix some of those things and stuff. So, and they aren't major things, but there's
sure.
just small stuff that makes it a lot easier and a lot smoother to work with.
Now, I understand that you were up at Clemson helping them get ready for the Clemson game. I still find this hard to believe that there were all those people at the game Saturday night and the pouring rain. Governor Haley suggesting people not go didn't really stop any of them, did it, George?
It didn't, and I think Dabo kind of summed it up at the end when he said rain or snow, rain, sleet or snow, Tiger fans will always show, and they did. I will tell you, though, up there initially, they
were up there helping.
Correct. I was up doing it. We had it was different. Normally, when you go up for those games and work, the people are already there. And you have quite a few, but it was lots of people came in late after 3 or 4 o'clock. So it wasn't they weren't up there all day.
Right.
Some people were. But the majority of them, I think, started moving in a little bit later in the day, so it was pretty good. But yeah, it was a different game, different concerns and stuff that they had up there on how they would deal with stuff. So.
And you had actually gone up there originally to help with setting up the traffic flow and this type of thing, correct?
Correct. I've been up there before, and we worked with Lynn Fitcher, who is their emergency manager. We worked with them, and he comes down and helps us. And so I think it's only reciprocal. Plus, it helps me keep up some of my skills and stuff is working in there with him and seeing different things and learning new things. So it's a little different. So we've worked with him before quite a bit up there.
Yeah. So, and you know, you were telling me about the people from Notre Dame that were flying in that got killed Friday afternoon.
That was
know about that.
Yeah, there was a plane that was coming. I think it was coming out of Atlanta. Not certain what happened, but it did break up kind of just over Lake Hartwell in the northern portion of it. And so there was debris that Oconee County and then also over in Georgia, they had to share a rescue effort and go through and try to search and rescue on that there. So there's some interesting things up that area too. If you live along the county lines, you always work with your county brethren, but also even if you work along state lines, you work with your county brethren over in the other state and stuff. So, but they were able to work together. But it was bad that those individuals did lose their lives coming in there.
That's right. So I don't know, folks. You know, I turned on the TV and saw the stadium packed. I was like, what if something happens here, right? I mean, you know, and wouldn't they have 85,000 people there or something close to that?
Correct. I'm not sure the total number. I will tell you, Ann, I came back. I left there about 6, got back home, and was in bed by 8 because I figured I might be up a little bit early that morning trying to go in and deal with some stuff. So,
yeah.
So, but I think there was about 85 or 83,000 people there.
80,000+ people there at the game. Mm-hmm. Wow. Unbelievable. Well, there you go. And it was televised too, folks, but I'm glad they went and not me. Other things. How about the Lake Greenwood Dam? What's been happening with that? How's it holding?
It's doing very well. We've opened up floodgates and we're releasing water downstream just to keep the flow from the rain that occurred here and the inflow that we're getting from upstream also, and also from what we are getting from the streams also that are adjacent to us in Lawrence and Newberry, as well as in Greenwood, that are feeding it. But we're jumping water out, and I can't remember the cubic feet per second, but it's going down. And we have talked to and are working with Lake Murray and the counties below us as well.
You mean you're letting them know we're going to let all this water come down? Y'all can deal with it, right?
Well,
that's a problem, isn't it?
Well, it
water
does.
Going down, and
it
yeah.
does. But the opposite side of that is if we try to hold it all back and our dam goes, then they have a lot more water to deal with and a lot bigger problem. So sometimes smaller problems dealt with gradually are a little bit better than having to deal with the large problem all at once.
Now, how much did the water go up? I mean, did it go up pretty high or before you let it go? Or
No, we got up to the 440 mark a little bit, maybe, yeah, right at 440, I think. I don't know the exact point, but
right.
We went up from, I think, 437 and a half up to that, so about 2.5 feet rise in the lake, and then we let the water out.
Oh.
At that. But that's all based on algorithms of what's coming in, how much we anticipate coming in later. So we have to try to stay ahead of it. So that's the reason for opening them.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if you've got a question, give us a call, 942-8553. If you have a problem, if you've had any damage, please give them a call, 942-8553. Is that the number I gave out for them to call us here? No.
Yes.
Yeah. Call the emergency management office, 942-8553. If you have issues, they need to come out and assess your property so they can get a total figure of the amount of damage that we've had in our area. They'll probably be able to say, if you had damage here, maybe we ought to look at this, particularly if you're talking water flood damage type thing.
Yeah, we can look at certain things that are out there. We'll do an assessment of the home is what we really focus on. But we would look closer if you've said you've had flooding in there. Now, if you've had a leak in your roof, it's a little different on how we would look at things and stuff. We would look more at the shingles and the roof and see what damage is up there. But if you've had that, we would probably look and make sure that you haven't been washed, your foundation hasn't moved or anything, or your house hasn't moved off the foundation any or something of that nature, yes.
So if you say, Myrtle, seems like we're shaking here tonight. The earth moved here tonight. Yeah, you better be careful out there, folks. Hey, give them a call, 942-8553. That's 942-8553. If you've got a question for us, give us a call right here, right now, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right here with George McKinney with the Greenwood County Emergency Management Coordinator. And if you need to call, if you need assistance, if you need to get some help on how to get things fixed, you were just telling me there are some ways that there's some volunteer organizations that will come in and help. Let's talk a little bit about those.
Correct, yeah. We have the Baptist Association, Methodist. There's different ones, also faith-based, non-faith-based, like Habitat for Humanities, different organizations like that. They will come in and help in times of this disaster this way. They have teams that are called mud out teams. So if you've been flooded and you need assistance cleaning out mud and stuff out of your house, they have teams that will do that. Have chainsaw crews that can come in and help clean up yards and clean up stuff of that nature. They have contractors and stuff also that will come in and help put tarps and stuff on homes and stuff. So if you've had a tree on your house or something and need tarps to kind of keep it from getting worse or something until you can get a contractor in there, then they will come in and help with that too. We just need to know what is needed out there. And that's, once again, if you need some of that support, please call 942-8553. Let us know you need some of that support. We'll get back with you. We'll try to get you in touch with those individuals and they will come into the area and support too. And so that's one of the important things right now as we're starting to recover from this, is how can we best help people get back in their homes as quickly as possible.
Sure. And what about for people that would like to help out, like with the state, with down there in Columbia? Do you happen to know what people should be doing, people that would like to help in our area?
Correct. What we will do is we have volunteer organizations that will help us pull those together. Right now, I would look at is the biggest thing is, once you call me, if you want to have some volunteer, give me a call on that number and tell me you want to help volunteer either here or at the state, and I will get you in touch with that, because they have what we call volunteer reception centers that we will pull people into. We haven't set one up here because we haven't been as bad and we haven't had lots of it. But they will come in and screen the volunteers, and they will push you out doing what they can to support you. That's one thing I would ask is just don't show up down there. Please try to coordinate that movement, because it can become a disaster in its own right if you have lots of people coming in. Even for the right reasons, it can be a disaster. So if you would like to volunteer, one of the other things I would recommend, go to the Red Cross, go to these other organizations that are volunteers out there already, and volunteer there, and they will be glad to have you and help. Right now, we haven't had any of those needs for volunteers as much right now. But we will bring those organizations in to support. So.
Well, you know, that is one thing you've got to say about our state is by Governor Haley declaring a state of emergency early rather than after the fact, it certainly has made a difference on the whole approach. And even though we have Columbia, Lexington, and of course the coast in such bad shape, they're already ahead of the curve than if she had not done this.
Correct. And what we do at our level is not, I mean, we can't stop the tornadoes. We can't stop the rain. So what we really do is we try to work for the consequences that occur afterwards. And the way you do that and the best way to do that is getting an early jump on that, being able to get your resources identified and the needs identified as early as possible and bringing those people on board. And that's what really that state of emergency allowed lots of state agencies, such as the National Guard. When I worked down there, one of the things I said, we're a two-ton elephant. We bring a lot to the table, but it takes us a while to get rolling. So it's always
good
to be.
They were already rolling when this was happening.
That's exactly
that's
right.
The good
and,
thing.
That, and that's the reason. You go early and start get those things going. That's what helps out a lot. Correct.
I think one of the other thing that helps us is we are a small state. You know, I think overall being more compact as a state and everything instead of some of the big states like Texas and whatnot when you have something like that, I think that makes a difference. But being prepared, you know, that old Boy Scout, Girl Scout thing really can help out too.
Correct. And that's the big thing is, you know, I like to say everybody's an emergency manager because everybody's had a flat tire before. So we can prepare at certain levels, and that's when we should. We should be prepared to the level that we can. And then that next level, if you need that support, that's when you call. And that's what we do at our level for emergency management. We get as prepared as we can for what we can control. And then when it gets bigger than what we can do, we always call for support.
That's right. So if you've had damage to your house, if you have had flooding, water coming in, I'm going to be talking to him. I'm already talking to him, but we're going to be talking to him about coming out and checking our condo and seeing what can or cannot be done. I've got the Ripley parquet flooring that, you know, I was on the computer this morning looking up. How do you fix it? You know what the bottom line is?
Replace.
You don't. You yeah. don't. Yeah. yeah. I thought maybe I could, you know, do some stuff, but no, it says it's got to be replaced. So if you need help with this, if you just want to let them see, twofold purpose. One, to let them know how much dollar damage was done in this area. Two, they'll be able to get federal funding in here, and they might be able to get you some help. But also, you don't want to let these things sit. And take pictures. You know how easy it is to take pictures. Just take pictures of the whole thing.
Right. One thing I would like to add, if I got a second,
sure.
is one of the things you will see is the Red Cross will be coming around doing assessments, too. And we share this information. They take a little bit more in-depth information than we will on there to so that they can get some more resources. But that's part of their volunteer side of the house so that they can get some additional support into the area to help you. So if you do see them out there, we will be coming out too, but we do share information across, so we may hit you twice in some cases. But just be aware of it if we do share the information because they may find a place that we don't know, and then we also find places that they don't know, and we share that so that they can go across. So that's important to realize too. So you could see someone from the county as well as from the Red Cross out there supporting them.
Now, what should people do, just for the record? I mean, we hear about scams all the time. We hear about this kind of stuff. How do we know that we have a county person coming by from the emergency management coordinator?
Correct. You can ask them. They should have their ID badge with them. However, if you are uncertain, don't give your information out. I would encourage you to call this number here if you can't get us. I hesitate to say 911, but if you're not certain, please do call and find out because it could be a scam. And it's important that we keep those people out because in time of need, we don't need individuals like that beforehand, but we definitely don't need them at this time also. So if you're not certain, please ask to see some type of identification from them. Also, if you do feel it's a scam, please call. Let us know. 911, you can call the 942-8553. Trying during the day to have somebody there. Sometimes we're able to accomplish that. Sometimes we're not. And let us know that you're worried. And we have a list of all of those individuals that are doing that for the county. So we would.
Well, there. So you could call and they could verify.
Correct. Yeah. And they can do that too. So, okay.
Those are some of the things that you should be aware of. So far, though, we don't have anybody in shelters. We do have some issues with some of the roads still.
Correct.
Mathis is totally washed out.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And what is the other? What other? We'll just go through this since we have a second here,
okay.
George.
The other ones that are there, we have two roads, one in the city and one in the county. Christian Road in the county, and then Circle Drive in the city that were still blocked when I was here. We're hoping to get those open this evening. The other ones, I'm trying to think of any that have washed out. I can't tell you right off the top of my head. But if you do see a barricade, please don't go around it. It's there for a reason. We're trying to make sure people don't get harmed. We don't know what's underneath the road. In some cases, it could have washed out, and you may look fine to you until you get your two-ton car over the top of it, and it disappears into a hole or something. So please observe those barricades. We do have Woodlawn Road closed and Chinkapin Road closed, so please observe that those barricades as well as you go out.
That's right. And you don't know when, if there's any sinkholes or anything around, where this is a good opportunity for those to open up too.
Correct. And that is something we're looking for. So if you've had something that you see that's different in your yard or something, please make sure we're aware of that as well. We may not be able to do much about it, but at least that's something to look at. It could be a possibility of other issues out there too.
That's right. We don't want to have any more damage or lose any more people. I do want to say a word about the DOT. Person that got killed down there in Columbia on duty.
Correct.
Just trying to take care and be safe out there. So
yeah.
If you're down in that area, if you've got to travel down to that area, you better find alternate routes. I understand they're still talking about closing it again tonight down
Correct.
There in Columbia.
Yeah, they are. They've got lots of roads and stuff that are closed. I'd hesitate. Even I-26, I-77, I've heard have been I-20, maybe even closing too. So just be, if you don't need to go down there, please
don't go.
Don't go. If you can postpone it, definitely postpone it. I would say, and if you can go around, definitely go around.
All right. If you've got questions, if you've got problems, if things happen to your house or home, please give them a call, 942-8553. You may say, I know there's not anything you can do, but they should look at it and just assess the damage. It will be good for you and for the community to be able to get those figures in to determine how much damage was actually done to our area. George, I sure appreciate you being able to come out and spend the time. I know you've been on your phone the whole time we've been here, but I sure appreciate you coming out this afternoon.
Not a problem. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you as well as your listeners and stuff, too.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Again, that telephone number, 942-8553. That's 942-8553. No matter how small, pick up that phone and call them. Let them make the decision on it. Please leave your what was it, your name, your telephone, if nobody's there.
Yeah, your name, your number, your telephone number, your address, and why you're calling, such as is it a flooding tree on there, so we can kind of assess how we need to get there, when we need to get there and stuff, what we're going to be sending, who we're going to send.
And this will be going on over the next week.
Yeah, at least next week. We'll look at it. We hope to everybody we can get to the end of the week, but if we need to go further, we will.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming out, George.
Thank you.
All right. This is WCRS in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.